Welcome to the podcast. Hunter, what was the hardest question you've had to learn since becoming a gym owner?
The hardest thing that I've had to learn since becoming a gym owner probably is when you open your gym, regardless of how much money you have or you think that you have, number one, it's less money than you think that you have, and you should put your money into shit that is going to immediately make you more money. When I moved in, I built a really cool loft about a year ago. The loft is still not finished. And I wanted like a lounge and a bunch of cool shit. And I, if I had put that into maybe marketing or some other ideas on how to make more money in the gym, the loft would probably be done by now. So that would be the biggest thing. At least one.
Well, that is interesting though. Like, cause I'm going to lead you into the next one, though, because kind of how you started with this gym, this business very specifically, is the opposite of the strategy you went with kind of here, though, right? Because you did start just coaching outdoors, right? You started that like that minimalist, here is me out in the world doing the thing. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got that role? Hunter's in Alaska, by the way, those of us, those of you that don't know Hunter. Hunter's gym's in Alaska, meaning outdoor training year-round is probably not viable, but that's like how you got on your feet to get started. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So COVID hit and I was training a few people in my mom's garage and my mom was like, you know, you can't train people in the garage anymore for the time being. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go on a little hunt for some rocks. And I drove out to a beach, brought my homies, and we just filled up my car with a bunch of rocks. We got a heavy rocks and light rocks. And we brought them all to a park and we had them all, you know, in this park, kind of by our side of town. And I just started inviting everybody that I knew on Instagram, Facebook, calling people. And we just did super simple workouts. We had a light rock, heavy rock, band and a pec stick, and a PVC pipe for every person that came in. And I started doing classes at noon. I filled that class up. So I started doing classes at 6:30, filled that up. And then as it got colder, we moved into my stepbrother's garage. But yeah, that was actually like the biggest catalyst in the gym growing was the whole stone lifting in the park thing, which who would have fucking thought that just kind of happened.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, there was a thing that John's kind of said in the beginning when you had first got the ball rolling, was it like that project actually, though, like the way you start, it's like the perfect way to start your business rolling because it is just you. This is me. This is how I would do this. I got fucking rocks. I got this. Like that is, it is building yourself into your business in a way where like it stays aligned with who you are and what you want to be doing. And I really, really like it. Also, it's like kind of really fits into a lot of what you do for your training, which is like some classic strongman training with like respect for everything else that goes on and still like a intense bodybuilding vibe, which I fucking really, really, really love. I think that's fucking hilarious though. So you did this like gradual sequence of responsible, like, you know, I go in and I coach and then the demand leads me where I need to be. And then you move into this kind of a bigger facility and you're like, I'm going to spend all my money.
Yep.
On a lot.
You're like, I was doing everything right about just reasonable. And you're like, time to go. That's great.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things I know has been awesome because we followed you now for like a number of years, how you have gotten equipment for your gym, like, is not the stereotypical way, right? You have some really cool equipment. You have some really cool dumbbells. You have some old school stuff that would cost anybody that would be looking for something like with that vibe that matches the vibe that you want to be able to kind of put out there would cost people a pretty penny, but you have a creative way of doing it. So I want to have you tell the story of like, how have you outfitted your gym? Cause again, so you spent all your money on lumber when lumber was the most expensive thing next to gold for a hot minute there during the pandemic. And that was, you know, hey, whatever, but you have really crushed it in other areas where people for sure just will happily blow 5-10 grand. And you have not done that.
Yeah. So I've always kind of been into strength history. So I like those old school globe dumbbells and just cool old school pieces of lifting equipment. And I had already kind of outfitted a lot of the gym that I had from either Craigslist or shopping around at the used weight stores in town. And basically during COVID, what happened was the demand for home gyms was just super crazy. And everywhere, like Rogue Fitness was sold out and all these equipment manufacturers were sold out. So I realized that I could sell, because I had a few things I wanted to get rid of in the gym, and I put them on Marketplace, and I got like 50 messages, and I was like, damn, like Marketplace is popping. So then I realized if I went and bought some like cheap weights from people, I could go resell them for like four times the price if I just clean them up. You know, like if they're rusty weights, we can get a drill and a wire brush, clean them up, or we could clean them up with a vinegar soak. And so all my friends were like, dude, we just want your fucking gym to be open, you know, like let's do whatever we can. And it was like nobody had a job. So
everyone had time. Like,
yep. Let's
lift weights and we'll just help Hunter open his gym. So I was making like so much freaking stupid money on this shit, because I would just collect weights all week, and then we'd go over to my boy's house on Sunday, which is where the gym was. I'd watch football all day, and I'd have like 11 or 12 people just coming to the door. Hey man, can I buy this? Can I buy this? So I was making like, I mean, I think I did like $3,000 in like 3 weeks flipping weights, which was ridiculous. And then during that process, I was also keeping whatever I saw that I wanted to keep. So I got a lat pull down, I got a leg press, I got hamstring curl, calf raise machine, all this shit for like maybe $1,000 total, you know, chest press machine, like just everything that I mean, now we're like, fuck, we should get rid of some of these. We have too many.
too many of these pieces of equipment.
Yeah. And then the other thing that was happening was a bunch of gyms were going out of business. So I would go to different gyms. Like that's how we got the flooring for the gym, was a gym was going out of business. So we took the flooring, we took their mirrors, we took a squat rack, we flipped some of their stuff. So we ended up making $1,500 and we floored the gym and we got mirrors. So yeah, that was basically the story of me flipping all the weights and kind of funding the gym that way from the beginning.
That's like, that is by definition, that is like resourcefulness, like maxed out. I mean, you know what I mean? Like if you didn't have, at that point, if you needed $20,000 to start the gym, how are you going to get it? You know, none of the three of us are good looking enough to hit the streets. So like, you know what I mean? What are we going to do? How do you know? And so I think that being that resourceful is like, it's just so funny the way you had started, which is this very much conservative entrepreneurial approach. And then gradually you ramp up your entrepreneurial skills as the demand arises, which I think is the way to do it. And now you're in a facility where you've got a spot now. Like that's your spot. That's where things are. You can run classes and do coaching and you can do all that stuff. At what point in here did this become like real where you're like, oh shit, I'm on the hook. This is not what I do.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of people, like, I've wanted to own a gym since I was 14 and I'm 24 now. So it's been like a really big dream of mine. And I think a lot of people, they view like owning a gym as like you're happily ever after kind of.
Yeah, like that's an end target. Once the gym's open and I have clients, I'll be in the gym long enough to so where I can be as fit as I've ever wanted to be. And then geez, if I'm fit, then I make a comfortable living, we're fine. And then all of a sudden it either doesn't work that way or that's not enough because we are ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get in the gym and then I'm like, damn, we're in the fucking gym and it's cool for a few months. And then I got like, I kind of like took a step back and kind of chilled out for maybe like 3 or 4 months because I was like, oh, we're here. And then everything just started to like not go well because I didn't have my foot on the gas and I was like, okay, all right, this was not the end, this was the beginning. Like, gotta get my head on straight, gotta realize. Like, it was nice because like I had wanted to open up the gym for so long, so when it happened I kind of like breathed a sigh of relief. But it ended up like, it is so much fucking work running your own business, and it's awesome. Like, I wouldn't want to do anything else, but just the amount of weird shit that I do for the gym that nobody would like ever guess that I'm doing for the gym, that's when it got real.
Yeah.
So what's the weirdest thing then? Like, you totally just left us on the hang, like, on the hook.
It's just like, it's a bunch of just funny, stupid shit, you know, that you wouldn't ever think about, like, going and getting water. You know, you have these big ass jugs of water. I don't have like a, I don't have a water fountain there. So I got to go get water for everybody. That's not something I was expecting to do, but like once a month I'm going and I'm filling up jugs of water. I got to make sure we don't run out of Expo markers. I got to make sure that, you know, this is fucking modeling. It's just shit that like, when you're thinking about owning a gym, you don't really think about all those little things that you're going to have to do. But then you're like making fucking Mulan graphics on the internet, trying to get people excited about your sandbag camp. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and I also think, like, you know, you're so, it's early on in the process, is there's like, we've talked about a lot, is in the evolution of how it rolls, is like everything falls to you in the beginning, unless you have enough money. Right. And so we already know you didn't come into this with a stack of cash that you were going to spend to operate the thing. So it does. Oh, shit. Water's got to be got. Well, I'm the getter of the things that got to get got. So off you go. And those become surprises that start taking more time. And being in that point is important to know exactly what that costs you. You know what I mean? I think this is what you learn throughout this. You're like, oh, well, now I know what time this costs me, and how all these unexpected things where I bleed time here, I bleed energy here, I bleed stress here. And you start gradually laying out processes and steps to get that thing off your plate than onto somebody else's, or you pay to have thing A taken care of so you can worry about thing B. But Hunter, shit, at 24 years old, having gotten to this point and having gotten through most of those things, plus a COVID fucking pandemic, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? Like, you're sitting in a place where you're like, all right, I can probably survive and pull off about anything right now.
Yeah, that is how I'm doing. Yeah, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm definitely going to make it work out.
That's awesome. When you, one of the coolest things that I've also enjoyed watching is that you're really confident with your pricing. And so when we've talked to people, I don't want to give up the shark of like what you're pricing, but how did you come up? Because when I think about, when I look at other folks that Tyler and I have worked with, and we look at just the market in general, and we kind of get a basic assessment, where are people at? What are they pricing? Where do they put a value on their services? You're already kind of in that spot where we're kind of like, this is where you want to be. That is more rare to see people kind of already establishing, especially when, I mean, how many people you got in your gym working for you? Like, is it you? How many coaches do you have?
Yeah. So the whole time, basically, I have had my cousin help me out, Colton, and he trained with me from the time we were 11. And he's been to like several weightlifting national championships, and he's coached me at weightlifting nationals. I've coached him at nationals. And so I've been working with him the whole time, and he's just kind of been shadowing me. And his growth from like last year coaching people lifting rocks in the park to now all the people that he's coaching in the gym is awesome. And I got him working on commissions. And then I just recently hired a lady who works in town. Her name's Tatiana, and she's super cool. And she brought a bunch of cool chicks with her, which is great. So I got two people working for me now. I'm freaking excited about it. And they're both being paid actual money. That was not the case for Colton for a while. We love Colton.
Maybe that's interesting to talk about too, Hunter. Is that, like, talk to me about how you said you've got them kind of on commissions, and it sounds like she brought her own people, that you have built a system where you've allowed your coaches like almost a entrepreneurial path within your gym, which I think, in my opinion, is how it should be. I think they shouldn't be on this transactional stuff, time for money shit. I think you have a new coach that comes in who brings in her own clients. What a great opportunity for you and for her. And I think keeping it that way is super, super valuable, because a coach, John, you and I see it all the time. A coach who's ambitious and can build relationships and grow and says, I want to do this, or I want to build this within the gym. Let me take this vertical and you take this one. Like, those are the things that we build a foundation on. You get this going and you let that person run. And then you let that person run. And you let a guy like me get your people huge. And you let someone who looks prettier get them lean. And you get, you know, make someone who's a little fitter teach the general fitness. But whatever it is, you let people kind of carve their own niches within your gym and build it. And so maybe tell me a little bit about how that's structured and how that goes, and why you didn't just be like, can I just pay you guys $11 for being in here during a group class?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, something for me is like, I want my coaching to be the best coaching in the state. I mean, I want my coaching to be the best coaching in the world. I don't want people working for like minimum wage and not really being super passionate about it. And that was something that I talked to my coaches about was, you know, if you are going to work here, you really, really have to care about people. And that's the number one thing. And I'm okay with them doing things differently than how I do things. I mean, I've been coaching with Colton for, or training with Colton for like 10, 15 years. And we have totally different classes at the gym. He's training, basically I'm training mostly guys my age, maybe guys a little bit older, some ladies. And then Colton's training like all their moms in the morning, you know, like.
Is he the handsome one? Is he the handsome one, Hunter?
But like 55-year-old ladies, and then Tatiana has kind of like ladies my age and then a little bit older in their 30s. But basically, I like for Tatiana, I just reached out because she had posted something on Instagram and I was kind of like disagreeing with it, but she was like super responsive. She was like, oh, that's actually really interesting, instead of just being like a bitch about it. So then I was like, okay, like we should go to coffee. We went to coffee and I just talked to her and she was telling me all about like, you know, this work that she's done and how at the gym that she's at, she feels like all these people are getting injured from the way that they're coaching people. And I was like, dude, just fucking come do an assessment. We did an assessment. She's like, all right, you need to raise your prices for all your shit. Like, this is way better than any other gym.
We like her.
Well, I like her already, Hunter. Good. You got to get higher there.
She's definitely one of the reasons I was like, got more confident in my pricing, because she was like, every other gym in town, everybody's backs are fucked up. Like, everybody's shoulders are fucked up. Just charge whatever the fuck you want, because like nobody here is hurt. So I was like, okay.
I think that's a really interesting. This is a pattern that we've seen before, John and I have. We're like, getting somebody in who is an ace, who maybe you hired from outside, who sees the value in your whole system and maybe didn't have to come up from within it. Those people are really, really valuable to be building your business forward on. We've seen it a couple times, John, and another one recently, where it's like, man, you get someone who's ambitious and really understands what you're trying to do and is going to stay out of your way and their own way and really is ambitious. The sky is the limit. And so that's why, as soon as she's like, raise your prices. I see what you're doing. I see why you're better. When you get someone who gets it and they're not just about chilling in their own spot, they're just being professional exercisers who also happen to have a coaching slot a couple times a day. It's the key to being able to build, like we talked about before, like, give her her section and scale it up to get people sale, and they can sell and you can sell their stuff. And I just think that a coach who has their own ambitions and their own understanding of your process and gets it, I think that is, that's the thing that we all search for, because otherwise it's tough to find coaches anywhere, actually, let alone ones that are willing to do kind of a lot of this next level stuff and do it right and not be crooks. So yeah, John and I's ears both perked up as soon as you said it. I was like, yeah, hang on to that one for sure.
Yeah, that's it. She's the key, right? It's that, like Tyler's saying, it's that demeanor, it's that attitude that's crucial. That's key.
Plus, it proves your concept. And we get into this about sales stuff of tons, Hunter, and we'll talk about it a different time, but like, where people need to know that the shit works. And so you need to know that your shit works. So you know from someone who understands the value proposition, goes, dude, you're fine, charge more. And now that's off you, right? You don't feel that pain. Next time you ask for more, you're like, she was in my corner. You know what I mean? Somebody at least, you know, knows the deal. And I think that gives you a lot of confidence. Another one of the things that I wanted to point out, as far as like Hunter's confidence in setting a kind of a good premium price, is what a lot of people don't know, aside from Hunter's still just insultingly young age when compared to myself. That just makes me furious. Hunter, we met, it was your 21st birthday, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
Was it even sooner than that? Yeah, and so in St. Louis. But I've heard a lot of stories over the years from Hunter. One of them, though, I walked away with the impression that Hunter has invested and paid dues, like real fucking dues, and bought in training and in everything forever in every single thing that you do. And in weightlifting, when I was introduced to Hunter, he was just like, what did you weigh? What did you weigh 4 years ago?
Probably like 165 pounds.
So compared to me, Hunter was tiny. I don't want to say it's a tiny guy, but compared to me, Hunter was this tiny kid, right? At that time, at that age, I was like, who is this kid? And I remember Julian's like, he was like silver medal nationals weightlifter, like has a huge lift. You know what I mean? He was pointing out your numbers and I was like, oh, what the fuck? And then we started talking, like Hunter goes all in, all in, all in on these things to this point where for your birthday, your wife had surprised you with a week long seminar down a vacation away. And though that was pretty dope and as a surprise.
Yeah.
But you told me the story about how you had uprooted and gone to, speaking of paying dues, with your weightlifting when you went and trained at MASH for a while. Can you tell the people that story? Because I think that is, people want to know what it takes to really try to like make a thing. Invest on that level at everything you do and you'll find the thing that works. So will you tell the story a little bit, Hunter?
Yeah. So basically when I was like 17, 18, I started thinking about joining a really good weightlifting team outside of Alaska. In Alaska, we don't really have any weightlifting teams. Definitely the best weightlifting team was my garage. local meet legends. Yeah, I just kind of wanted some coaching outside of, you know, YouTubing how to snatch and stuff like that. And I had trained at the Olympic Training Center for a minute when I was a kid, maybe when I was like 15, because I got invited for a little camp. And I just kind of liked the vibe and the experience and just having somebody really knowledgeable and a bunch of other training partners that are stronger than me. So I reached out to the guys at MASH. They said I could come to try out for the team. And basically I bought a one-way ticket and I booked an Airbnb with some Buddhist lady. I didn't know she was Buddhist at the time. And it's not a problem that she was Buddhist, but she was doing Buddhist chants every morning, like very loud in her living room. And I was just living at this Airbnb. But I went into the gym. I talked to Travis MASH and basically was just like, I really want to join the team. And I bought a one-way ticket, whatever. And he's like, okay, like, let's see how you do.
He's like, well, I can't fucking let you sleep on the streets.
Yeah, he was cool. He was like, dude, you can stay at my place if you need to. So, I wanted to surround myself with stronger people. And those motherfuckers were crazy. Like the people in there were like 17, 18, squatting like 700 pounds, like several times a week.
You're doing multi-day training, buffets, getting as much calories in as possible. Like, yeah. Tell me about the eating you were doing to support the training volume.
So all those motherfuckers are just eating Waffle House. There's this Chinese place called Miyabi that they also eat a lot. A lot of chocolate milk, a lot of fucking pizza. Just like a lot of weed, smoking, a lot of alcohol. It's pretty bad. It's definitely not the best for long-term health. But yeah, I'd be like multiple training sessions a day. I had no furniture in my house, so I was sleeping on the floor. I was biking to the gym up this giant fucking hill every day, and I was just in pain. Like, my back was hurting, my shoulders were fucked, my knees were fucked, and I'd get to the gym, like, after stretching for, like, an hour and then riding my bike, and then I'd just fucking max out every lift. I'd max out my back squat, my snatch, my clean and jerk, you know? Get fucking at the 10 on squat just as heavy as possible, like, no regard. Yeah. For form or like how you feel. And like, if you think this is like the heaviest fucking set you're gonna do, don't worry, it's not, because everybody in the gym is still like, dude, you're still a fucking pussy, like throw some more plates on there and you're just like, I'll fucking do it, you know, like I don't care what it takes. So
there's I remember you telling me that story first, and you were telling me the bit that always stuck with me is you were like, I'm sleeping on the floor, I've got a blanket, no pillow, and I have my cell phone charger and my cell phone and a bag of clothes and nothing else. You're in a fucking, you're from Alaska and you're in what, North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
You're in North Carolina sleeping on the floor with no nothing. And because that's the level of investment you wanted to take into the thing that you're doing. And that's the thing that I think entrepreneurs do well and coaches do well in general, is where you're like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your level of commitment is bolder and more intense and probably dangerous, but I will say this, that having that level of commitment and willing, you're not risk averse at all, are you? I mean you're not afraid of any of this shit, because what's the worst that's going to happen? Now you got a family, so you know, ideally we don't want them all to be sleeping on the floor, but I do think that you have a lot of, you've learned lessons about like what's the worst that can happen. Like, fuck, dude, what are you afraid of? What are they gonna do, close your doors? Who gives a shit? You know, I really like when people have at least got out there and like really stretched themselves out and pushed and really paid some real fucking dues and bought all the way in on something. I think it's one of my favorite stories you ever told, Hunter, for sure.
Yeah, no, that was it was definitely a learning experience. And that is, I fucked myself up so bad that that's how I met Julian. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, but then again, because you went all in and then you had to learn how to undo some of the damage, and then that made you a better coach and that did put you here. And now you can sit here and go, guys, you know, you're an attorney. You train 3 days a week. Don't separate your shoulder for some snatch that you don't give a shit about, you know?
Yeah, man, for real.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop there. So I think it's important where, like, you went all in as for your own, like, so you could get better, right? Whatever you were passionate about as a client, right? As someone that just wants to train. And then you got introduced to the coaching side of it. Mm-hmm. Didn't you spend a month in Amsterdam? Like a month in Utrecht out in the Netherlands?
Yeah, man. Me and Tyler had some freaking fun times out in Amsterdam.
It was great because Hunter did the same exact thing with coaching. You
but now with coaching,
as many seminars as you could, you got to as many of the in-depth shit. This concept of investing in yourself, not just time, but like energy. Like, fuck it. I gotta give myself time away and space to make this the thing that I give all my energy to. Or because you know what it takes to be good at something, and you know that like half measures don't fucking work either. You went off. But look at how much ground you've covered now as a coach over these last 4 years.
Yeah, man, it's been incredible. It's been really nice meeting, you know, people like you guys and just networking and seeing like all these different passionate coaches and mentors. And I just wanted to throw myself in it as hard as I could and just be the best that I can. You know, I'm always kind of thinking about life, you know, on a macro scale, and I want to make a really big impact. I don't want to look back, you know, when I'm 60 or 80 or however fucking old and just be like, damn, I didn't really do shit. Cause I know that like I do have like energy, and I know I got a weird fucking brain. Like, I know I don't think like normal people think, so I might as well take advantage of it and just like give everything my all instead of, you know, just coast by. So
yeah. Well, I'm keeping your identity in it has been the most interesting thing for us to watch. It's like your branding is on point, and it's not because you're doing anything that's not you. It's like everything when I look at Hunter's Garage Gym on Instagram, it's like, oh, this is just Hunter, you know? And that's that crush, man. That is, if people could just learn to do that piece, what am I, what is my gym, what do I want it to be, and accurately fucking depict that outwardly, that is that's $1 million lesson that a lot of businesses never ever learn. And yeah, they'll pay off right away. But shit, if shit's misaligned 5-10 years down the road, it just creates you problems over and over and over and over again. So having covered that is great. What keeps you in this, Hunter? What keeps you in the game?
Man, I mean, number one is I really just like love the craftsmanship of it. Like, I love to break down movements. And I mean, there's things like okay, so I have this guy at the gym. He comes to me 3 times a week. I've been training him for a few years. And about 5 months ago, he's like, hey, man, it was only him in the gym. He had started talking to me about some like stress that was going on. He's like a younger kid, and some stress that's going on at school, some stress that's going on with his parents. And I'm like, okay, like, let's give you a workout. And I gave this dude a workout, and it was kind of like a variation of one of Richard's workouts where you carry a sandbag out as far as you can, drop the sandbag, bring it back in. Anyways, he ended up like going from, he couldn't sleep any night because he would lay down in his bed. He'd have to wake up. He'd have to reorganize everything in his room. And he'd do this for like 1 to 2 hours every single night. So he was suffering from like massive OCD to having a huge expression during this workout, crying. We go on a walk. He's telling me all this stuff and all these feelings that he's having about self-doubt and not feeling good enough and just letting all this shit go. And then to like 4 months later, he hasn't had, like, he's been able to fight the OCD off and basically have a good night of sleep ever since. And he said he wasn't sleeping for 3 years before that. Yeah. And that's just shit that like, that kind of shit happens all the time, like almost with everybody, which is why, like, back to the premium pricing thing, like, I'm not selling like fucking workouts and 1 hour of my time. Like, I am here to develop a really, you know, awesome vision for your life and try to give you the tools to achieve that vision, whatever it is, you know, within fitness, outside of fitness. Like, I mean, we just had our anniversary party, and the cards that we got from people about how we've changed their lives and they feel like we're a second family to them, and like their kid was going through this and they came in and it helped, or this mom had this issue and it came in and it helped. Like that kind of shit will, like, if you're having like a bad like 6 fucking weeks at the gym, for like, yeah, one day, you're like, okay, all right, I'm good for another like few months, because just realizing like the actual impact that I'm making. And you know, even though like my gym's not huge, I don't have like, I don't even have 50 members, you know, it's not like I'm training a bunch of people, but I know that everybody that is there is getting so much benefit from it outside of just, you know, physical training, that it just really means a lot to me. And it like, it just warms my heart when I hear stuff like that. I mean, I was crying reading these fucking cards that people, you know, were sending me, and I'm like, oh no, like not at the anniversary party.
Well, I'll give you another piece of advice, Hunter. Take the last, did I write that down? Minute and 45 seconds from now. I'll write down the timestamp. And you're probably going to want to clip that out and put that on your social media.
Okay. All right.
I don't fucking sell time, and I don't fucking sell workouts. What I sell is boom, boom, boom. That's money. That's money. I like it. I like that a lot. John, what did you have before I roll into the fucking hammer at the end here?
No, I would say it just is, you're on the right track, Hunter. Everything is pointing to where it's, you have people that are good, that are with you, and you have the mentality of like the rising tide, right, is lifting all the boats that are around you, right? Your clients are getting better. The people that are on your team, right, are getting better. For you, it's watching this elevation of being a really good athlete to a really good coach, and then becoming a really good gym owner. And you're doing the things in sequence where maybe originally you would have been out of sequence. Originally, right? You and I start doing work together because we need to build an online course. But it's like, yeah, but I don't have a fucking gym, or I don't have these things like are trying to get built at the same time. And so we know what it looks like when something is out of sequence. We need to build a loft right now. The loft is the most important thing. And then what ends up happening is that it's still kind of just sits there, because maybe, like you said, to start off, it's out of sequence. And then all of a sudden what you did is like you got back and you started getting the right people and doing all these right things. Man, it's just like your investment as now as a gym owner to give your people the tools to make them great coaches. Those are the moves that now, like, you start to elevate, and now you're playing a whole new game that I'm excited to see what you do, right? I'm excited to see what you do next.
You know, because imagine if you had rushed to get 100 members, right? You're like, I don't quite have 50 right now. Well, what if you had 100 right now and you didn't like half of them, right? And your coaches are stretched thin, or the culture sucks. Like, you've got, as long as things are within this space where we always talk, you know, objectives versus constraints. Like, you have a constrained well right now. You do, it has to fit in with what you do well, what your coaches can fulfill with, fits your price. You're not just going to bastardize your prices so that you can just get more bodies in. And so you're doing good work for good people that fit your thing. And then, I mean, that's exactly in sequence. You could have twice as many members and be in such an infinitely worse situation, because you have to walk some of that shit back. And so I really, really think you're on the right track, brother. I'm stoked to be able to check in with you on how the business stuff has been going. And we've been watching diligently for a long time. So seeing you go from starting to coaching to little coaching here to just trying to fix yourself, right? It was thing one, and then into coaching, and then taking this as a vocation and really giving that calling what it deserves, by investing yourself fully into it, into being good at it, and not just having to do it, I think is really commendable. So we're going to get to the last question, Hunter. You ready? All right. So, Hunter, if you had to give some advice to somebody who's looking and walking, following in your footsteps, whether it's becoming a gym owner or coach, but somebody who sees Hunter and goes, man, I'd kind of like to do that. What advice would you give to somebody who's just starting down that path?
So this is the same as my dating advice when people ask me about dating and how to pick up hot chicks. And my advice always, just be yourself. Because if you're not yourself, then you're not going to attract the type of people that you actually want to coach and that you want to work with. And if you are yourself and you're fully yourself and you know who you are and you can express that, then you're going to start attracting people that align with you, that align with your vision of where you want your business to go. You'll start attracting better coaches. You'll start attracting better clients. I know for me, like, that's been hard, is to not try to copy what anybody else is doing, but just try to really, like, be the best version of me. And I know that, I mean, I'm on my way. I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm getting better. And I think that if you are the most authentic version of yourself and you continually get better, you will eventually get awesome coaches. You'll get awesome clients because they see your big vision about everything and they want to be a part of that journey with you.
I love it. I love it. That was tremendous, Hunter. Hunter, thanks a bunch for joining us. Guys, Hunter, how can people get a hold of your gym?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Hunter's Garage Gym. I think I also have a website called huntersgaragegym.com, which you can check out, but Instagram will be better. I will respond to you on Instagram, so I would say do that.
Alaska, Hunter Rock Lifting Alaska Excursions, got to be made to happen. There's got to be some sort of weekend getaway up there that should be put together for sure. Once the rock lifting stuff becomes the stuff of legend, when you're like, do you remember that this was how Hunter got his start? Now you're going to be able to charge a premium for people to come up and hang and lift rocks and take their shirts off with you. It'll be a blast. So,
yeah, that's we need to do that.
Awesome, brother. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you joining us, Hunter. Everybody else, make sure you can follow the John, tell me all the stuff. I don't have it in front of me.
You're doing good. So you can follow us. If you are watching this video, you are already in the Facebook group. This is the Gym Owners Movement Facebook group. If you are not watching us and you're only listening to us, join the Gym Owners Facebook group, but please know that it is open to gym owners specifically. So if you are a gym owner, you love a gym owner, you sleep with a gym owner, you are in a gym owner's ear, right? Go ahead and join the group, be able to come in here and be able to participate in this community that we're curating and building together. Folks just like Hunter and every other gym owner that we've had the opportunity to be able to interview, right? They're in there. We're having these discussions, and you can follow us at the Gym Owners Podcast, right, on Instagram. You can follow me at JBanksFL, and you can follow Tyler. Me
at Tyler F. and Stone on Instagram. Thanks, John. You nailed it.
Yep. My pleasure.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Hunter, thanks a lot for joining us, brother.
Thanks, guys.